That's you in the heart is more than in the soft.
My finger is really. That's what she
does. Yep, she likes this right here. Riley's not chilling on her as much anymore. She's actually playing
on her. She has her phone.
Here's the special weather statement. You're going to leave it.
A line of strong thunderstorms.
There's a VBS meeting tonight. Teachers.
Okay.
It's in. It's all those.
Okay.
You better?
Like a little while.
What are you doing, there, child?
Torture.
That looks like it.
Gosh, yeah.
Okay, there she goes.
Uh oh, she's looking at David.
Is that like a strobe light that'll cause a stroke or something?
Turn the lights on.
Not
that
bad. They're really bright.
Is the bell rung?
Yeah.
It has?
Yeah, it has.
I didn't know that.
Well,
I got something coming in out of the rain.
They are
getting a good
rain.
Okay, well, we still got some people coming in from the rain, and that may be going on for a few minutes because the skies just opened up about the time everybody was headed here and about the time we got here, too. So, anyway, since you're visiting, you want to say the prayer?
Sure.
All right, visiting prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful to be able to be here this evening as a congregation of your family. And I pray, God, that we're here with the motive to learn from your word and to be stronger Christians for you and for each other. And I pray, God, that we take what we learn and go out into this world, set the right example to those we know and those we come in contact with. And I just pray, God, that you'd help us to be the best parents that we can be for our families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so if you can think of four, well, let me start out by saying the last two classes are going to be Sunday morning and Sunday night. David?
Pardon?
The last two classes are going to be Sunday morning and Sunday night that you will be teaching.
Yes.
And we got two classes and we only got one class. But we kind of talked a little bit about the time travel and moving forward, you know, 10 years and whatever. So you're going to do Keeping Up with the Joneses?
I suspect.
Okay. He suspects he's going to do Keeping Up with the Joneses. That'll be Sunday night and next Wednesday night. Then that will be it. And then the classes will change after that. So we'll have our that's right.
Wednesday night
and Sunday morning and Wednesday night.
Okay, you said Sunday night.
What did I say?
You said Sunday night.
Well, straighten me out. So Yeah, so Sunday morning, Wednesday night, the 26th, next Wednesday night will be the last class for this class. And then we'll have a VBS, and then we'll start our new classes on July the 7th, okay? So we're gonna have there's a handout at each of the doors as you come in and out of the building that has a listing of what all the classes are. We're gonna send an email out too, and it's gonna be on the board tonight when we have the announcements as well. But make a decision about what class you want to be involved in. It's gonna be Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, how we got the Bible, and then this class again. So, I just want to say thanks to everybody for participating in the class, and I hope it's been enjoyable and beneficial. Appreciate everybody's perspective that they brought to the table and, the discussions that we've had, and I hope that there's been some things that you've been able to take away from it. David, bibliography? Okay, so David's going to have the bibliography before one of those last two classes for everybody to have to refer to. Okay? And then, we've got some good information to be able to refer you to. And we've referred you to some stuff during the course of the class. And, as we find other things in the next class, we'll try and make that stuff available to everybody else as well. But tonight, we are talking about the same thing we were talking about Sunday morning, and I want somebody to tell me what the four main points were that we discussed on Sunday morning. There were really four main points. Three were specific to the lesson itself in the title, and then the fourth one was really close to it. It was tied right to it. So what are those four things? I'm going to write them on the board as you say them.
Boundaries.
Yes, sir. Boundaries. Law.
Consequences.
And what was that fourth thing that was so closely tied to all of this?
Being subject to authority.
Yes. Absolutely. Somebody tell me how all this ties together. Kind of summarize that for me real quick. How's all that fit together?
It's hard to have one without having the other. It's the formula for sin, and sin separates us from God.
Okay. They do all go together. And it is, figuring out what's right and what's wrong. And then deciding which side of it we want to be on. And we either respect the authority of God or we don't. And our actions and our lives reflect that. And if we respect it, then we understand the importance of boundaries. Law defines sin, to Greg's point. And then we know that there's consequences to sin or to breaking the law. And that's a fundamental concept with regard to everything that was taught from the beginning of time, like we talked about with Adam and Eve. And it's run true through the entire Old Testament into the New Testament. And it's laid out there for us to read and understand and then make a decision about what we are going to do. The first place it's got to start is with the man and the woman, the husband and the wife. That's where they've got to make a decision about this, and they've got to decide if they're committed to this. Then how does that get manifest in their lives, and then what kind of impact does it have on their children? Tell me. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, they've done studies, and the research shows that the relationship between the husband and wife sets the tone and has an effect for your children. And that even
Speak up. Can everybody hear?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Even if there's not a divorce looming, if there is tension in that relationship, the children feel it and do not feel secure. And so then those kids tend to have problems with depression and not listening and act out sometimes because of that. And I think that relates and translates into your spiritual life.
Okay.
If that makes sense, what I'm saying.
Sure. So the kids know if you believe this to be true about God's Word, do you think? Your kids know if you believe that to be true, Rodney?
Absolutely.
Because they either see it or they don't see it, right? And it also kind of draws a parallel between what you say and what you do. What you say and what you do. When you come to church and the things that they hear and see, if that happens at home or if it doesn't happen. Or if we're just window dressing when it comes time to go to church. You know, we just go because it's time to go. Or if we're really going for a reason, for a purpose. And that's not only reinforced by mom and dad, but they see it in their lives every day. So anyway, I think it's really important that we understand how this gets applied to our lives. One of the things that we kind of ended on the other day is we were talking about Christians that want to live on the fringe. And I think there's lots of people that want to have their cake and they want to eat it too. They kind of want to have Christianity and a relationship with God on their terms, as opposed to the terms that God's outlined. And that's why I think so many people and so many churches get sideways is because they try to make it too loose. Because God's Word defines too tight of a pattern for them to live their lives by. So they want to kind of, you know, this isn't really going to hurt anybody. It's not going to really be a problem. But God says He's very specific about what He expects of us from an obedience standpoint. And He also tells us that in every situation that we encounter, He's going to give us a way to be able to get around the problem if we have problems in our lives. What does 2 Corinthians 10:13 say? Does anybody know? Is that the one I wanted?
No.
1 Corinthians 10:13, but it was. I think that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
No temptation.
Yeah.
Has overtaken you, but such as is common to man.
Yeah.
And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
Yeah, so mark that in your handout there too, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I mean, there's not anything that we're going to run up against that He's not going to be able to help us make it through it. And are we going to have temptations? Are we going to have trials? Are we going to have tribulations? Nathan talked a little bit about that in 1 James 1 in the first chapter on the invitation last week. But yeah, we're going to have things that we're going to have to endure in life, but He's given us a way to be able to deal with everything that happens if we'll just hang in there, if we will remain faithful, if we'll do what He has told us to do. I'm not going to go through all those scriptures. I hope you had an opportunity to look at some of those. But what I do want to do is go down to the part about the law and, you know, the fact that God has given us a law to abide by from the very beginning. He's defined it for us very clearly, and He has said that He has an expectation of us, and He wants us to meet that expectation. Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." What's He talking about when He says He's come to fulfill the law?
Put it to rest.
What's that?
Put it to rest.
Okay.
Put the old one to rest and the new one in play.
And so there's new, there. What we learned through the old law, what we saw would happen, what we were told would happen, what God said would happen, came to be through Christ coming to the earth and establishing that new covenant that man was to have with God through his blood. And then there's this whole new set of expectations that God has of us. What are some of those expectations that God has of us as Christ taught them to us? Does it help us with some of the things that we're talking about right here? You know where I think about when I think about him kind of laying it down when he first started his ministry? Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, and chapters 5 through 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, he kind of just lays it all out there. And he says, this is who you should be. This is what you should be. This is how you should live. This is what you should do, and this is what you should do. This is the kind of life that you should live if you are going to follow after me. And, you know, I think that's a really good thing to think about with regard to what he established and what he said needed to be a part of who we are. I want to look at some of those other scriptures there, too. Let's look at Romans. Take the Bibles and turn over to Romans, if you will. What does Romans 7:7 say? Somebody read that for us. This goes back to what Greg said a while ago. Romans 7:7. Come on, come up. Somebody come on.
What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet.
So again, the law defines sin. It also tells us, you know, what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. We've got a clear understanding of that. We've got to take it and apply it to our lives. We've got to take it and we've got to let our kids understand how important it is as well. And we don't want to read all of Romans 8, 1 through 17. But what does it basically say in Romans 8, 1 through 17? What's it talking about in Romans 8, 1 through 17? It says, you're either of the carnal mind or you are of the spiritual mind. And you got to choose one of those two. And that's kind of what God has put out there before us, and we've got to decide whether we're going to be carnally minded or we're going to be spiritually minded. So which one are we going to be? And then what kind of framework are we going to have for our kids? If our kids see us just totally consumed with materialism, which one's that? The carnal mind. The carnal mind is the mind that just wants the physical, right? Is there anything wrong with physical things? Is there anything wrong with physical things? No. Is there a qualifier that goes along with that? Rodney, what do you think?
As long as it doesn't interfere with how you're supposed to serve God.
Okay. And how could it interfere with how you're supposed to serve God?
If you're trying to work, and you're not leading your family, if you're not coming to church to edify the saints and participate in worship, you're obviously being an example to your family, however you're doing it. There are more important things
right.
That need to be focused on.
Right. But there's not anything wrong with taking care of your family. You've got an obligation to do that. And you want to take care of the physical things, but you don't want to let them get in the way, like you said, of our service to God. Now, that's an important part. Are you going to say something?
No.
Okay.
I'll stay.
Well, I think... You know, and it kind of goes along with one of the other things that we were talking about a little bit there. But we've got to make a conscious decision to say, yeah, I'm going to take care of my family, but I'm not going to let it get in the way of my service to God. And a lot of people use that as an excuse. They'll say, well, I can remember early on when I started my career and I got in positions where, you know, I might have to work after I got myself on track. You know, I told my employer going into the deal, I will not be working on Sunday and I can't work on Sunday night because I got worship service. Because for me early on, I knew I needed to really adhere to giving that service and not letting something else be more important. That was me. That was what I needed to have in place to make sure that I didn't miss my work. Because it's easy to let it be. You know, just say, well, yeah, I need to get this last plan drawn before I go home tonight. Or, you know, Amanda will get the kids to church. Right? And then what do you do if you do that? There's a couple of things going on there.
You're telling your kids that there is something more important.
Right.
Than being here at the same time.
Right.
So when it comes time for them to want to do what they want to do, we see you as being hypocritical, because why is it more important for you to do this than it is for me to do what I'm doing?
And what have you done to your wife, too?
You've overburdened her and left the responsibility to lead upon her.
Right. You've made her the leader, spiritually, of your family. And again, a woman doesn't really want to have that responsibility. If a man's doing what he's supposed to be doing, that's what she wants him to do. Now, a woman will pick that up if she needs to. And maybe she helps him along as he goes, as he grows. But if it's just her packing the water instead of him, that's not what God said he wanted. That's not what it's supposed to be. And it's all those other things that you talked about as well, Rodney, too. 1 John 3:4-10. Somebody read that one. 1 John 3:4-10.
Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother.
What translation is that?
ESV.
Okay, ESV. So, what's that saying? As it relates to, you know, what we're talking about, authority. It's talking about authority, right? And it's asking what question?
Who's leading you?
Yeah, who's leading you? Who are you going to serve? What authority are you going to be subject to? Is that a conscious decision? It is with everything we do in our lives, every day. Every day. And we have to decide. We're either going to serve God or we're going to serve Satan. There's no in between, really.
In Romans 6:16, Paul says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" We're slaves to somebody.
Yep.
It's like Bob Dylan's song, "You got to serve somebody."
Yeah.
And even Bob Dylan says in that song, you serve the devil or you can serve the Lord, but you got to serve somebody.
Yeah.
And that's the choices we have. We have two choices.
Yeah, and if you think about how many times the apostles that wrote letters in the New Testament to the churches, all the different churches, so many times in their letters, what did they refer to themselves as? Bond servants for Jesus Christ. Yeah. Willing slaves to be about his work. So again, we've got to think about ourselves the same way. We've got to think about ourselves as bond servants, subject to his authority, abiding by his law, knowing the boundaries, and then understanding that there are consequences. Understanding that there are consequences. There's earthly consequences for sin, and there's eternal consequences for sin. Now, there's some sin that we can commit here on this earth, and again, this is important for our kids too, as it relates to, you know, the law of nature, the law of God, the law of the land, that can have impact today. If a child participates in sex outside of a marriage relationship, and a girl gets pregnant, They can repent, both of them can, and God forgives them, but there's something that...
consequences of the decision.
That's exactly what I'm talking about right here. There's something to be lived with for the rest of your life as a result of those choices. As a result of not abiding by the law, not being subject to authority, not staying within the boundaries of what God says we should do. And sometimes it can happen, you know, a Christian boy and a girl can be, you know, the best in the world. They put themselves in a bad situation. Their hormones kick in. And before they know it, they've done something they shouldn't have done because they were in the wrong place, by themselves, all that formula for disaster. And then lo and behold, they can be very sorry about what they did, but there can still be consequences of that thing that they did. And that's true with other things, you know, getting out and getting drunk and drunk driving and hitting somebody and killing them. A person can be sorry, they can repent. But again, it's all of these things that you want to try and teach your kids about so that they understand what's important, what they should and what they shouldn't do. Reminds me of a story one time. We were going up North 27. Nathan, I don't know if you remember this or not, but the traffic slowed down and it was just a wide spot in the road. There was a little restaurant there. And we were like, Saturday morning, what is going on? It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. And we get up there a little bit and there's a guy just drunk as he can be, staggering down the middle of the road, and people are going around him out in the middle of the road. And I don't know how old they were, but we go by him, and Erin looks at this guy and she says, "Drinking makes you stupid." And I thought, boy, oh boy, from the mouths of babes. You know, it didn't take much for her to reason that this guy's got a beer can in his hand. And he's out there staggering in the middle of the road, not only creating all this problem, but endangering himself as well. So, it's, you know, you can learn from other people's mistakes and the things that they're doing, the examples that you point out to your kids, but you also make sure that those are things that they don't have to be exposed to at home. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all that the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, love your neighbor as yourself." You know, the kind of life that we have, the kind of commitment that we make to the truth and what we're going to do to try and do what's right. Okay, next part of the lesson, I said, I kind of had an assignment there. I said there's a law, did God enforce it? Either he did directly himself, what he had commanded of those who he appointed. I said, let's look at some examples of the law and its importance in helping understand what's expected. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but let's go through it kind of quickly because we still got a lot of things I want to be able to talk about. So what about Adam and Eve? We already decided that they did a pretty bad job of doing what God expected them to do and then being able to work within the boundary, respect for his authority, law, and consequences. What are some things in the Old Testament? Give me an example of something in the Old Testament that you think is an example of God means what he says he means.
Nadab and Abihu is the first one that comes to mind.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's don't touch the Ark of the Covenant, right?
He used strange fire.
Strange fire, that's right, okay. So the strange fire, and, you know, he specified what the fire was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Fire wasn't right. Yeah. He didn't mess around. He means what he says, and he says what he means.
He may not do that to us now, but...
Right, that's the example.
He's going to impose punishment one of these days.
That's
the oddest one. Because what strange fire? Fire's fire, right? It's similar to dipping in the Jordan, right? But it just, the reference is God's not in it. God wasn't specified. Wherever God is not, there's all sorts of things we can assign positive value to, or positivity to, or good to.
Right.
But it doesn't mean God's in it.
Right. You were going
to
say.
But he didn't get the fire from the source he was supposed to.
Yeah.
They did not get the fire
right.
from the source they were supposed to get.
Any other Old Testament examples?
Moses.
Yeah, I mean, and I've got Moses a little bit later too. But I mean, what was Moses's error?
He had to rock instead of speaking to it.
Right. Seemed like a pretty, you know, simple thing there. But what happened as a result of that?
He didn't get to enter
into the promised land. Look at all that he did before then. Look at everything that he did to free God's children from Pharaoh. And at the end of the line, because he messed up, he didn't get to go into the promised land. What about the New Testament? What are some examples there? And I've got one of them listed later too that I misspelled. Ananias and Sapphira is one of my all-time favorites. What about Ananias and Sapphira? What was their problem? What was Ananias and Sapphira's problem?
They lied.
Lying? Covetedness? Greed? Conspiring?
Peter told them, it was yours.
Yeah.
It was yours to do with what you wanted.
Yeah, it was yours to do with as you chose, and you chose to lie about it instead of just doing what you wanted to do. Any other New Testament examples?
Simon the Sorcerer.
Simon the Sorcerer.
Okay.
He wanted to buy the gift of the laying on hands from the apostles. And he was told right then that if he didn't repent, that he would be lost. And I think about that. I think every time we choose to do wrong, even in the smallest of ways, we are in effect playing Russian roulette with our souls. We're just spinning the dial and hoping we don't go in the next 5 minutes. And we've all lived long enough to see someone that died unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And I think about that. I think about the fact that, and right then when you realize you've done wrong, you need to stop right then. And if anything, whisper a prayer to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you. Yeah. Quote yourself a scripture. But don't let it just drift on.
Who else? What about the rich young ruler? Hey, I've done everything that you said. So, okay, so then do this. And sell and give to the poor, you know, as they have a need. And then he went away sorrowful because he was really rich.
How would we do with that test?
Right. How would we do with that test? How do we do with those tests? Like Debbie says, it might not be that particular thing, but it might be something else where we get tested on, where we have an opportunity, those trials and tribulations, and we fail the test. You know, and it's not written down for somebody else to read about us, like the example and teaching that we have to learn from. But one thing's for sure, it'll all be brought, you know, to the altar in our judgment as God looks at us and says, well, you know, Jim or David or Rodney or Mike, here's how you did, man. Here's how it lays out. And so that's when we've got to decide. So at the end of the day, you know, obedience is required. And I said in there, God not only desires our obedience to the law, He demands it if we're going to be faithful to His word. This is a lesson we should live by and a lesson that we should teach our children. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." What does that mean?
They're for our good.
He's not asking too much of us.
They're for our good.
They're for our good. He's not asking too much of us.
Well, if you think it's a burden, your heart is not in the right place.
That's a great...
You're not putting in or getting out what you need in your life.
If you think it's a burden, you're not giving in, get what... You know, I was... having a little conversation with somebody today at lunch about Proverbs in the first chapter. Turn your Bibles over to Proverbs real quick. This is a great, I mean, the whole first three chapters in Proverbs is so good. Because the first part of what it says in chapter 1 and verse 7 is what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That again talks about which side you want to be on. You want to be on the side of the wise? You want to have knowledge? Or do you want to be a fool? Do you want to despise wisdom? You know, that ties back really good with, you know, 1 John 5:3, where it says that what he expects of us is not burdensome. We should want to do it. We should desire wisdom and knowledge. And if we don't desire wisdom and knowledge, if we don't want to do what he instructs us to do, we are a fool. We're a fool. And you've seen fools before, haven't you? You know what a fool looks like?
Some of those guys I had in child support court Tuesday, yesterday.
Yeah, some of the people he had in child support court on Tuesday. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. I just mean our actions reflect whether we desire knowledge, whether we desire what's good for us, or whether we desire what we desire, that we think is going to make us happy. And it never does. It never does. And then if you go on over in the second chapter of Proverbs and the third chapter of Proverbs, in third chapter of Proverbs, verses 5 through 8, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Respect His authority. In all your ways acknowledge Him," boundaries, "and He will direct your paths," law. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." What do you want? What do you want? What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your kids? What are you committed to? What are you going to lead them to be committed to? Because if they don't see it in you, what hope do they have unless somebody somewhere down the road comes along and tries to help show them the way? Right? You know, we've got to decide what matters and what doesn't matter. There's a lot of other good scriptures in there too. I'm not going to read them all. Please, I hope you read them. But Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God tells us exactly what He expects of us. When we're thinking about parents and children, you know, Ephesians 6:1-3, what's it talk about with regard to the relationship between parents and children? What's it say? I've got it written right there.
They're to obey, please God.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord for what? This is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. What happened to disobedient children back in biblical days, lifetimes?
They could be stoned.
They could be stoned. They could be stoned. You know, that was a little admonition there to try and say this is a good thing to do. So we got to teach our kids that they have got to be subject to us. They got to be subject to our authority. They got to be subject to what we outline for them that's right. How about the law of the land? How important is it to teach your kids about the law of the land? How's that work? Kids are in the car. You know, does anybody have any problem with speeding? You don't have to raise your hand.
Unless you want people like David to make decisions about your life, you obey the laws of the land.
Yeah, so
you want to raise yourself, you want the courts to raise you.
Romans 13:1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Are there things about the law that you don't like? You know, it's not. We live with the law as long as it doesn't cause us to violate our relationship to God.
One thing, it's kind of funny, but looking back, I appreciate and understand why, but when I started driving, my mom, every time before I left the house to drive, she had a newspaper clipping that I had to read, and I had to read it because she quizzed me on it later, and if I didn't know the answers, I would be in trouble. And it would be about people around my age that, you know, were drunk driving or got in a car accident and died, or whatever, and she hammered into me that I'm not invincible, and my choices affect me, my family, and everyone around me, so, like, it kind of scared me, you know, made me more
aware. And in all ages, little tricks and tools and whatever that you use with your kids, from the time that they're small to the time that they get out, they get on their own, you've got things that you do. I mean, I hate to pick on Nathan, but he's back there. When he first got his driver's license, when he got ready to walk out the door, I'd be sitting on the in the chair in the living room, and I'd say, Nathan, and he'd say, what? What did I say, Nathan?
I don't remember.
Oh, whatever. Right.
Remember who you are.
No.
Either you influence people.
Our
people influence you.
And that was good for me because my competitive nature, I don't know if you meant to do that or not. Like, I would roll my eyes and I was like, wait a minute, like, I'm going to win this. Like, I don't want other people to influence me. I want to influence them.
So, you don't know. I mean, you just hammer away and you hope for the best. And then finally, you know, 2 months down the road, after I've said it like every night, he gets ready to go out the door. And I say, Nathan, he said, Dad, I know, either I influence people or people influence me. So, it's like, huh? You did. Trust me. Some of those things you don't remember. That's okay. I did. But really, I mean, we got to understand how important it is. And you don't think you're getting through. And they kind of make you think you're not getting through. But you just keep on plugging. You got to be consistent. You gotta be consistent with the consequences and with the implementation of the law and the boundaries. Mom and Dad have gotta be on the same page. We talked about that. But I can't stress how important that is. You can't let the kids play one another against, each of you against one another either. How does sin begin? Sin begins when there's things that that they desire, that they want, that are a problem. And however that comes about, you know, whether it's through the influence that they get from other people that they're exposed to, the company that they keep, and the influence that those folks have on them. But you've got to make sure that they understand that they can't be outside the boundaries that have been defined by God that will define who your family is and please Him. 1 John 2:16-17 says, and on page 4 there in about the middle of the paragraph, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We've got to make sure that when they make choices, they make good choices. We've got to be the right example. And that's the foundation for how they're going to establish themselves and live their lives. How about lying? Anybody ever run into any problems with lying? Debbie, did you?
Yeah, I mean, I made my boys lick on a bar of soap after they did it.
Oh, ouch. So, does anybody else have any problems with their kids telling lies? Yes? Why do they do that?
They don't want to get in trouble.
Do they not understand that lying gets them in more trouble than telling the lie? I mean, than whatever they did? Just coming clean? So my favorite scripture tied to lies is John, the 8th chapter, in verses 42 through 47. And it talks about Satan. And it's Christ talking, and he says, you're either of me or you're of him. And if you're of him, he is the father of lies. And do you want Satan to be your father, or do you want Jesus to be your example, your father, who you want to follow, the example in life that you want to have? So that would be